Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. 25th day of the month here. Praise Yahweh. I guess we're just moving right along in time. 25th day of October. Now, before you know, we're going to be in November. The election, the presidential election's coming up. Boy, what choice we have. 6 of 1, 1/2 dozen yet. Up them skull and bones. You see, the Illuminati has moved in very subtle and craftily, and he's taken over our nation. I believe our government, our people's minds have been conditioned, warped. We're a bunch of patriotic, flag-waving idiots. I mean, we've been had. Most of these things that's been brought upon us in the last couple of years have been brought upon us by people that you wouldn't even suspect. And, well, let's get into the message before I get carried away and then get off the topic here. So I don't want to get into politics too far. I want to get into the Bible. What I'm going to talk about tonight is Demons from the Deep, Part 6. Satan, the adversary of mankind. You know, the word Satan means adversary, something that is opposite to what good is. Darkness and light has no fellowship. What's up is not down, and what's down is not up. It's something that is a paradox of opposites. The flesh man cannot understand what the spirit man understands. And there's a warfare between them two. And the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power, and spiritual wickedness in high places. So then we got to be extra careful. Ladies and gentlemen, our soul, the thing about it is that we don't understand. We perhaps underestimate the actual worth of our soul. If Satan would go to any length and any mean to deceive you, kill you, steal you, or destroy you, remember what the Messiah said? If you lose your soul, what would you give in exchange? What do you think you could value upon earth that would equal, and more, they say, a lot of valuable things? People would sell their soul for a piece of bread. It's been done before. How cheap we value our soul. How easy it is to sort of horse trade us out of our soul. Satan is a master craftsman, a deceptor, a very subtle enemy, and the adversary of Adamkind. I'm not going to say mankind, but Adamkind. Satan, also known as the devil, is mentioned frequently in the Bible, as you very well know, and there are many popular ideas. Let me give you some about this evil being. Some say he's a spirit, but, you know, the Bible doesn't specifically say that the devil's a spirit. He's a created being. He was not the spirit or a spirit. He is a ministering spirit. Just like the other angels are ministering spirits. The problem here is he ministered to our carnal. He allured us through the lust of the flesh. He tempted us. He draws us away. He comes to kill us, steal us, destroy us, and deceive us in any order. Doesn't matter. And when he does, then he can claim that soul as insulation, as a, you know, sort of a, a barter chip. That he can take your soul up to the Creator and bargain for you. But let me tell you right now, there was times past when God winked at your ignorance. But now it's commanded on all men to repent and to come to the knowledge of the learning of the revelation. Now, some admit that the devil exists, but presume that he's now confined in the fiery pits of a never-burning hell. Still others believe that Satan is free and actively promoting sinfulness in our world today. Well, what's truth? What does the Bible tell us about this evil created being? Well, we know for sure that he's got cohorts working with him. The Bible would speak in generality that there is one-third of the host of the angelic beings under God's command, Yahweh, that they rebelled against his teaching, left their habitation of safety and joy and purpose and serving the Creator, and came down to actually, this was a conspiratorial agreement that they would do according to the book of Enoch. And Enoch, like I said, he acted as an intermediary between the fallen angels and Yahweh's true angels. And there was war in heaven over this very issue of being cast out of heaven. And after the battle, Satan and his angels lost the battle against Michael and his angels. And it was a fierce battle. I told you about evidence, I believe, that is throughout the heavens. Some of the scientific logical explanations is that the moon and some of the other planets are pockmarked with these craters are actually a result of the asteroid belt because of the lack of gravity. You see, the Earth is supposed to be surrounded by some type of a radiation belt, the Van Allen belt that runs through the system, and this gravity belt, and that we have a frictional atmosphere around us in the firmament, and that burns up all of these. Otherwise, we would have impact craters, and we do have a few here and there. Matter of fact, the whole area of Charleston, South Carolina, is, they say, a result of a meteor that got through the radiation belt, or the gravitation belt, rather, and failed to completely burn up and dissolve, and a large chunk, and you can see this visible space, you can see just exactly the impact. But could it have been some other type of projectile that was fired from some space war's weapon? And you say, oh, that's not possible. Well, we got it. Our government tells us it's possible today. They're actually 20 years ahead of us in revelations or dealing with us or opening up the secrets that they have. They're at least 20 to 25 years, they say, advanced into the technology that we don't have today in the present age. 25 years from now, we're going to hope to have radical free energy devices that we don't have to totally depend on fossil fuels, because they tell us and warn us that they're giving out in the earth. And so some of the people that own all these wealthy places of mining, extractions, oil rigs and things of this nature, matter of fact, your president is a third generation oil man from a very rich, they don't look like rich, they look like the good old West Texas Cowboys, East Texas Cowboys, but they're not. These are powerful, elite, Illuminati men that have served in the function of government long enough to know the integral workings of our government. And they have friends in high places. And the Bible said we wrestle against these spirits that are promoting the destruction of the earth. You say, well, I didn't know that the Bible said that, that the earth is going to be destroyed. Well, it does, and it's a frightening scripture in any way you read it. I have read it and read it and reread it. And to me, it is a very frightening scripture. It is in the book of Revelation. It's chapter 11 of the book of Revelation, verse 18. Let me read it to you. And the nations were angry. Well, I want to ask you, what do we got today? We got one nation threatening. I noticed today that we threatened North Korea, because North Korea has joined the nuclear club. And they're a bunch of bandits, so to speak, and they're a loose gun, loose cannons out there, and they're threatening nuclear war to shoot everybody down and cause a nuclear war, and a third world nuclear war would be devastating to because it could trigger a reaction, co-reaction, and one nation trying to get the upper hand and actually nuking another nation to destroy their attempt to nuke them. And so it's the guy that gets in the first lick of nuclear energy that usually comes out of him, especially if he's got nearby neighbors that they find hostile. they can pull the trigger first. It's just like most fights. It's the guy that gets in the first good, effective lick at, that usually wins the fight. I think the odds are that these nations are playing this so-called Russian roulette with the leverage of nuclear weapons. Well, listen to what it says here. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear your name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. All right, there it is. Destroy them that destroy the earth. What are we going to do about that scripture? Do we actually believe it? That his word teaches that the reality of Satan, the adversary, is a personal entity, and he is presented as an evil being in the Bible who affects humanity by his own actions. It is Satan that is hell-bent on killing, stealing, and destroying. If he can't have it, he says, if I can't own the real estate, then ain't gonna be no real estate left down here for you and your kingdom to be set up. That's basically what he's telling, the Father. I mean, this is a gentleman that is very advanced in warfare technology, and he seems to be a master craftsman of subtle, Illuminati control. That means that he could subdue and deceive the masses and change himself into an angel of light, like I said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that he could transform himself into an angel of light, even his ministers, that's his fallen angels, who work side by side. And remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but Satan literally works in these people that have gone over to him by the selling out for filthy lucre, for pleasure, or for prestige and for honor, and they'll do anything. They'll sell their soul, like I said, for a piece of bread to serve in his kingdom. The facts have to be searched out. In this article, we have a piece together that the scriptures have to say about Satan and draw conclusions from the Bible and other available sources that we have talked about in relationship to what his purpose and intentions are. And we do believe that Satan and his angels are near to coming to earth to make their self known to the inhabitants of earth, and the inhabitants of earth are going to be so taken by these marvelous beings and their power and their prestige and their honor that we are going to become a world of deceived people. Now remember what the Bible said. All of the nations who I'm getting a feedback here in the studio, and I just wish that it would go away, but it's not. The problem is, with the sensing of the objective of Satan is to kill, steal, and destroy. And the Bible said he knows he has but a short time to work. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're in perilous times. They're even talking about nuclear war in various parts of the nations. They're talking about somebody stealing the election. They're talking about that we may not even have an election. You hear it on shortwave all the time. These shortwave hawkers are scaring the hell out of people. And they're ordering their water filters and their decontamination, these portable decontamination chambers from nuclear war. Have you ever thought about when nuclear war comes, that everything is going to be contaminated with radiation? Did you know that Russia itself has, in its arsenal, enough nuclear weapons to destroy the whole earth? Did you know that the United States has an equal or probably an amount probably far superior because of quality? We may not have as many, but I think we've got qualitative nuclear weapons that would probably match or succeed or exceed the amount of weapons that Russia could put up on the earth at any given time to any different target. And they do have specific targets in mind. America is the number one target of the Russian nuclear arsenal that is aimed toward their most potent enemy, the United States of America. Now remember, we don't have anything that we know of. Now, there may be something on the drawing board or something in the channels that we don't know about. But we don't have anything to counter a nuclear strike, first strike. We have to have a retaliatory capability. Now, what do you mean by that? Meaning that we have submarines, with enough nuclear tipped missiles to counter and retaliation, enough nuclear subs to destroy Russia three times over. And I'm talking about probably everything that ain't way below ground. Anything that comes up for 1,000 years thereafter is going to be contaminated with radiation, and cancer is going to be rampant, eyes rotten out of the socket, and things of this nature, and people praying for death. I mean, we got the horrible example of Hiroshima and Nagasaki when we dropped two atomic fat boys, and these things were little old firecrackers compared to the things that we got today in nuclear strike and hydrogen. We have got rotation bombs nuclear neutron bombs that actually will unite the elements around us in a chain reaction. We don't know to the extent of their reactive process and how far that are effective these things would be if there was a nuclear chain reaction of a neutron. But we do know that they can and have proven in many tests and neutrons that they have proved quite effectively. So we don't even know the extent of the reaction that one neutron would set off to cause an element reaction of neutrons, of the elements that are in the air by nature's atoms, that they could explode in a chain reaction, and maybe they wouldn't even stop, the whole earth was destroyed. Well, that's just exactly what Revelations chapter 11, verse 18 says. He's coming back, and if he don't, the Bible said there won't be any flesh saved. And that's the teachings of the Bible. And yet we are not concerned. You know what we're doing? Eating, drinking, and being merry. Raising hell, partying, watching ball games, filthy lucre. Running in pursuit of pleasure. There's nobody, hardly ever nobody that has got their head in the Bible or got their face in the earth praying and interceding for the times to come. And you know, the Bible said, except they come and fall in the way, the end won't come. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you, rest assured that Satan has brought such of the deceptive, subtle deception upon the earth among the people that think that they would kill you doing the Messiah service. When they even kill the righteous and uphold the wicked. When they will call good evil and evil good. I'm telling you, we are in such a perilous fixation that we've been transformed into thinking that we're okay when we're as lukewarm or as cold as crap, and we ain't got a Chinaman's chance to reach heaven. My heavens. Praise God. I hate this backlog message going on in the background of the studio, but I guess I can just go ahead and preach the gospel. Praise Yahweh. And walk it out. Let's go to Nehemiah 9 and 6, few that are keeping Bible references to it. Nehemiah 9 and 6. You alone are Yahweh. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens. What about the heaven of heavens? Heaven and the heaven of heavens. Where's that at? With all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is therein in them, and you preserve them all, the host of heaven worships you. Well, that's the ones that remain loyal. That's the ones that made a choice. That's the one that's committed. That's the ones that have purpose. That's the ones that have dedicated. That's the ones that are obligated. That's the one that know, woe is me if I fail not to serve him. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says the wrath of our Creator is coming from heaven and flame and fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not our Creator, his holy purposed name. The Yod He Bah He, the one above every God in the heavens, and there's many of them. There's many gods. There's many ministering spirits around tricking and deceiving. There's many ministering spirits that have perverted the righteousness and turn men aside into a way that seems right. But let me rest assured, Job 38:4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurement? Surely you know, or have stretched a line upon it, haven't you not? To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who was those sons of God? Ministering spirits. Well, does he have any ministering spirits down here today? Did you know that ministers are still in the fold? Praise Yahweh. Yes, they are. Why? Because he chose with the gifts and the signs, there's 9 spiritual gifts and 5 signs to follow the believer. Now let me repeat that. There are 9 spiritual gifts and 5 signs to follow the believer. Isn't that wonderful that the Father has ordained this and he will not do anything in relationship to revelation to the people except he first reveal it to the prophets? Did you know that still a prophet or a prophetic way with his prophets and prophetess? I mean, we got sisters that got more guts and intestinal fortitude and know more about the Bible. I know sisters in many places that have more understanding in generality of what the Spirit is and the Spirit, because you see, they're easier. They're more likely to surrender. They don't have any problem with their ego. Males have got ego. Very few men will preach the gospel without an ego. Some preach for gain. Some preach for recognition. Some for filthy lucre. Some for position in the community. And others preach the gospel for the truth's sake. Well, you know what the Bible said? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living, mighty one, the eternal one. Have you ever drifted out into the spirit world? Have you, like Paul, who was called into the third heaven and heard things that wasn't lawful for him to speak? Did you know that the things are so ever overwhelming that 10 seconds out in the spirit world will equal 10,000 years here in the flesh realm with a carnal mind? That's why it says that doubtless you'll come to visions and revelations if you will fall into or give yourself or surrender to the urging of the Father and the ministering spirits that have come to minister to you. But, oh, I don't want to give my soul up to nobody. I won't let nobody mess with my soul. I have fear. Well, fear has torment. If you're not willing to be able to launch out into the deep, you ain't going to get you ain't going to catch any fish. If you're not willing to walk the straight and narrow, you're not going to walk where the righteous walk. You know the Bible says that no unclean thing will walk upon the narrow way. And I ministered last night on the Revelation of the little book. And you know why it's little? Because straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and few there be that find it. And only those who are his children from the foundation of the world with their names on it are the only ones that's going to be going back, who have kept their names, made sure they went to extra lengths, they have went the extra mile of the way. They've prayed, they've seeked him, they have fasted, they have yearned for him, they have read, they have studied, they have launched out into the deep, and they won't take nothing for granted, and they will not take no for an answer, and they keep knocking on heaven's door until they're rewarded with a joy unspeakable and full of glory of the things that the Father has laid up for them at love and serving. For I have not seen, your ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the carnal heart of man what Yahweh's laid up. But if you know in spirit realm that he's coming back to destroy them that would destroy the earth, then you better get on the side of the eternal spirit, and you better go and launch out into the deep, and you better not take no for an answer when Satan rebuffs you and tempts you and draws you out and tries to, you know. When I started seriously seeking a father, I'm a poor man. I don't have anything. And I'd like to have some financial comforts. I don't want to be wealthy, as Solomon says, least I forget him, but I don't want to be so poor that I curse him. So I want to have a happy medium of what I would understand to be living comfortably and have the things that would necessitate the comfortable things in life. And yet, I'd rather eat cornbread and drink branch water and live under a peanut hole than to live in the tents of wickedness with the rich in the ivory palaces where they forget Yahweh. And so then, Yahweh's not chosen many of the rich, the powerful elite to call them into the deep things of Yahweh, but he's chosen the poor, rich in faith in this world who have nothing under mind but time, and time belonging to Yahweh, and have given their souls and their bodies and their minds completely 100% over to the deep things and the revelation that comes only from the Creator to the poor, the elite, those He chosen before the foundation of the world. And the Bible says when He brought them over here, Satan robbed them, killed them, stole them, destroyed them, confused them, amused them, entertained them with pleasures and sin, and some sold out, some fell on stony ground, and some here and some there. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're of that kind of a spirit, Yahweh can't use you. Make your election and calling sure. Remember Lot's wife, when she looked back, turned into a pillar of salt, dishonored. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think that Yahweh is not real, Ezekiel 28:12, Son of Man, take up a mourning cry concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, what is this sovereign? You were the model of perfection. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Ever precious stone adored you. Ruby, topaz, the emerald, the crystallite, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the beryl. Oh, we got nine of them, didn't he? Well, got news for you. There's 12 stones, and the three that he didn't get, if you'd like to look at what they are, sometime you'd be very, very, very blessed if you believe that the kingship stone man was out of the house of Joseph Ephraim. He didn't get Ephraim's stone. But if you want to look at some of the stones that belong to these other tribes, he got nine of them. He stole them, robbed them, took them by default, by subtle, by blackmail, by other means. He got them. Your settings and mountains were pure gold. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, so I ordained you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the forest stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until wickedness was found in you. For your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and sin, so I drove you in disgrace from the mountain of God. What are we talking about here? That anointed cherub that walked among the stones of fire that had 13 settings and the breastplate of the house of Israel. And yet he didn't have the three. One of those was from the birth tribe of the house of Joseph. He never did get Joseph's stone. If he'd have got that, he'd have got the birthright, and he would have inherited, and through the law, he could have claimed privilege to come back to heaven. I drove you in disgrace from the Mount of God. I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became so proud on account of your beauty. You were lifted up and corrupted by your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you out to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings, and by your many sins and your dishonest trade, you were desecrated. You have desecrated your sanctuaries. Satan ain't mentioned in the passage, but if you get the drift here, you can know that he's the one that we're talking about here. And let's go over to Ezekiel 28. The identity of the entities that been spoken is that the chapter here, it starts out with Yahweh's proclamation against the prince of Tyre. In verse 2, this prince is proud. I am a god. I sit on the seat of the gods. That the Bible says, Christ said, did I not say your gods are many gods? Satan is one of the chief rulers among the gods of the stones of fire. When he needs to be restrained, it takes a lot of angels to restrain him. He must be a powerful being. It took Michael and Gabriel both to withstand him to get Daniel's prayers through to heaven. Satan can hinder you. I mean, I don't envy people that have to trade licks with him. I've been in battle fights with him. I tell you, he always comes out most of the time winner. But let me assure you of one thing. The Bible gives us instruction to pray that we enter not into temptation where we could be tempted and tried with Satan. And therefore, when we pray that we enter not in, then Yahweh's obligated to keep us out of the temptation. Once we enter the temptation, Satan will, he will strain you up. But don't worry, the Bible says... You know that you got saved by the skin of your teeth, and you got skinned by the one that knows how to skin. Paul said, I'm not ignorant of his devices, but the Satan beat his head in. He blooded his head. He beat him with stripes. He threatened him with death several times. Paul came out victorious because he had a mission, and he knew that he was going to Rome. He knew he wasn't going to die, but the people made sure that he wasn't going to make it there to keep the appointed destiny of his destination, which was, Paul, you must witness before me in Rome. And I'm telling you, they literally beat the hell out of him with rocks and stones and sticks, which will break his bones, but the words that they spoke against him never hurt him. It never discouraged him. He kept on pressing toward the mark in high calling. And when they stoned him to the point that they thought he was dead, they left him laying outside the city several times stoned. His head bashed in, probably good blood oozing out of the wounds. Maybe a cracked head, ribs, teeth. I would dare to say that Paul couldn't even eat a good steak because his teeth had been bashed in by these wicked Canaanite Jews that followed him around and beat on his head. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a warfare right now. Somebody might be beating on your head. It might be a spiritual beating, but I'm guaranteeing you, the Bible said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. I guarantee you one thing. When you fall into enough of these, praise Yahweh, you'll begin to pray the prayer. Father, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For I know the wrath of Satan has come, and I don't want to be at the end of the receiving sticks of his stones and his sticks. I don't want my bones broke. I don't want my liver bruised. I don't want my lungs smoked up. I don't want all these temptations that can come and defile a man. First thing to notice in the passage is Satan was in the Garden of Eden and was a seal of protection. Genesis 2 and 8 indicates that the Garden of Eden was planted by Yahweh after he created man. Ezekiel 28:13 reveals that Satan was in Eden before he sinned. Therefore, contrary to traditional understanding, Satan was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve before he fell. His fall was defined. But had he already failed prior to Genesis 1 and 1? Yes. In the day that the earth was created for second experience, Genesis 1 and 2, it said the earth was created in darkness. That's what the King James said. But you take that word was out there and apply the word as given in Strong's number 1961. It says became dark. That was a process of time. Satan had already failed even before the earth was created or recreated, because Adam is nothing more than a replacement to replenish that which was here before Genesis 1 and 1. There's your real truth. Satan is a master deceptor. Satan is after your soul. He's the anointed cherubim, and he's one of the angels who covered the mercy seat with their wings. One of them. You'll see that in Hebrews 8 and 5 and 9 and 5 and 23, verse 24, and in Exodus 25, 20 and 37, 9 and 1 Kings 6, 19 and 28 and 1 Kings 8, verses 6 and 7 and 1 Chronicles 28 and 18. The covering cherubim on the mercy seat. Satan sat right there and looked inside and saw the treasures of the winds of heaven. He knew what Yahweh's plan was. And the only way that he could counter Yahweh's action plan was to come in and sow the tares among the wheat. Satan. Genesis 1:26, let us make man our image. 28 says, and let him replenish the earth. So the Adam that came in Genesis 1, 26 through 28 was a replenisher, something to replace something that existed in Adam's likeness before that he ever come, was to replace that which was already here. The earth was not created in darkness because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So he kind of created something that wasn't in him. And by this, Satan brought darkness by his appearance, because the evil had been lifted up in his heart when he seen the experimentation and had caused the first earth prior to Genesis 1 and 1 to fall into a darkness, just like it's dark right now. Darkness rules this land. And Yahweh is coming back to destroy them that destroy the earth. My heavens, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. This functional image then refers to our unique statuses. Yahweh's children, rulers, of Yahweh with him. We are given unequal abilities. This is given to us in the providence of predestination. We are winners and more than conquerors if we run the race. Look at Psalms 8:4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you have visited him? You've made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with the glory and honor. That's what Satan wanted, the crown and the honor. He wanted to mix his genes so he could get back into heaven because his seed is cursed. Say, oh, Pastor Buddy, being impossible for Satan to get a seed. Well, we've been in that before, so if you'd like to get into that, just call me after we're talking about it. Even the beast of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. In addition to showing the position of mankind on the earth, it also alludes to the reason that Satan's ultimate fall was that humanity was made a little lower than the angels, Satan being crafty and taking advantage of the weaker vessel of Eve, sowed the discord in the garden, and therefore brought the downfall again. This is the second time that the earth is going to be brought down. The third time and the final time will be in the end time, when Satan's mission is to kill, steal, and destroy, and destroy the earth. And the Bible said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is going to come down among you, knowing that he has but a short time to work. And his job, his mission, is to kill you, steal you, and destroy you. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say this with all reservations of respect to those that go to church. He's got 90% of churchgoers today, right where he wants them, deceived and being deceived, going and compassing a land and sea to convert one proselyte, and when they make him twofold mother child of heaven, it was to begin with. With all this false denominational nonsense that we've got going on today, nothing more than a form and a fashion and a lukewarm church age of the Laodicean church that he said, I'll spew out of my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Church of Philadelphia, the only one written in the seven church ages that he didn't find anything wrong with. And you know what? That's the one that didn't deny his name. If you got his name in your forehead, do you know who he is? Do you know that the fallen angels are down here? Did you know that the demons from the deep come to kill you, steal you, and destroy you, to pervert you, to give you an illusionary fact that and create a seem right way in your life, to make you content with the pleasures of the world? And pay and pray through these evangelistic preachers who are no more than Satan's agents that's transformed themselves into angels. Right? Oh, how they can sing, how they can perform, how they can yodel their voice, how they can play well on an instrument, how they can preach from the Bible and take these little old scriptures and spin them out to where that you just can't wait to pull your pocketbook up and send the money. And if you've got a piece of plastic, put it on the card. You're going to pay and pray, and God's going to reward you fourfold, press it down, and run it over to you. And when you get in trouble, you call these ministers, and they don't have any money for you. They're overfeeding Africans. We've abandoned this country. The homeless, the helpless, the blind, the halt. The shelters that we have built wouldn't hold one third of the people, let alone two-thirds of the ones that's out there with no place to sleep, no food to eat, don't have no jobs, it's all been outsourced and gone to China. Where Wally World brings it back over here in a refashioned product where it's made in China. It's China Mart. I call it Wally Mart, Wally World, but you can call it China Mart. And rest assured that 90% of our products is not made in a good old USA. I don't care how much they fund the schools and give scholarships. 90% of the profit comes from China and cheap labor, where they can't buy on American markets from American-made products because you wouldn't buy it because it costs too much. And you'll wait for a cheaper buy, and you run up to Wally World, you buy the Chinese products and sit at home and boo-hoo about you ain't got no job. Well, it's all formulated to take it away, outsource it, and give it to the countries abroad and tear the infrastructure of this great nation down and destroy its heritage and its purpose in the earth, which was to serve the Creator, the mighty God, the everlasting. It's a Christian nation. And all these other nations are enemies of this and our cause, and they have no pleasure in Christians, especially lukewarm Christians that won't stand up and fall for anything. Ain't got enough knowledge to wad a shotgun shell to fire back at the devil, let alone boo-hooing. I'll tell you, you're going to take a morning boo-hoo to scare Satan, because, I mean, you know, he's an old rat in the mill. He knows how to gnaw on your leg. He knows how to bite your heel. And he will, and you'll become his victim if you don't watch, little devil. Little children, the devil will scatter you. So you've got to be ready to put on the whole armor. And if you have any cheeks in your armor, if you have any openings in your armor, just like David found the crack between the old giants. He couldn't cover up everything, and he needed eyes to see how to cut David's head off. That was his first mistake. Best thing that giant could have done is put armor that would have enclosed his eyes and took a wild swing at David. Because David, a master craftsman and a master slingsman, he picked up the 5 smooth stones, and he only needed one. That represents the oneness of Yahweh, the eternal one, and bam, he hit him right in his head. Right between the eyes, right where he had a chink in his armor. You think Yahweh can't retaliate? You think Yahweh's going to win this battle? You ain't read the last chapter. You think Yahweh ain't near you? You think Yahweh will not come when you summons him? I've been in fierce battles with the devil. I just got out of a battle about 2 weeks ago where he put me down for the count for 5 long days. But I guarantee you, I come up from that like kicking like a true Israelite. You can get a man down, but that ain't sin. It's to stay down when you're knocked down. Get up. Get up on your feet. Rise. Your enemy, the devil, is going about as, not the, as a roaring lion, not the roaring lion, but as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's Satan and his angels. Oh, how he works in the churches. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, now glory to God. I mean, I was at church Sunday and I didn't see no devils at work. When they fail to preach the whole counsel, when they fail to reveal the entire truth. The truth is hated. The truth is despised. They despised Christ. Why is all these Mr. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so, these paid TV evangelists that got their programs every SUN day on the radio and the televisions where they're hawking their wares and selling their goods? And inviting you down to large arenas where they gather in the thousands. Pastor Buddy does good to teach 10 and 12. If I get 10 in my teaching class, man, I'm going to say, what's going on here? Where the crowd is the truth is not. Where the truth is few. And I wonder he had a little book, because only a few that's written therein. My people, let me read you that scripture, praise Yahweh. My people, I didn't choose you people because you were the most people on the planet Earth. I did not do that now. But I chose you people because you are the fewest people in the earth. And all the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, and they shall be afraid of you. Ladies and gentlemen, when you take on this magnificent, mighty Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh name, when you wrap it up and put it in your forehead and you repent and baptize in and seal to the day of redemption, your name is then put a little check mark by your name. He's kept the faith and ain't denied my name. He suffered with me. He'll reign with me. He's been faithful over a few things. I'll make him ruler over many. This is the magnanimous, magnificent promise that those that have their names written on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world. As Ezekiel 28:12 tells us, Satan was a model of perfection. Full of wisdom. Oh, his ministers are full of wisdom. Oh, Pastor Bert, they can't be wrong. They talk so well. You're so crude in your speech, and you can't put a whole sentence together without stutter. You just murdered the king's language all of them. Yes, but plain talk's easy understood. When I get out, finally what I'm wanting to say, you can make sure that it won't be nothing of deception. It'll be the raw truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And I'll put it right down the pipe where you live. And the Bible said that the word of Yahweh is a sharp two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing asunder the joint and the marrow of the bone. Is a thought, it's a revealer of the thought and the intents of the heart. Yahweh speaks to my heart. He gives me messages. He says, preach it. Stand on it. Don't back down. Bring the blood. Woe to the shepherd that fails to bring the blood. The shepherds that are harlots flee when the wolf comes. If you'll stand and fight the wolf with the truth, the Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Ezekiel 28:16 tells us that Satan was filled with violence and sin through his widespread trade. The Hebrew word rendered trade in Ezekiel is rekulaba. It is a form of the noun rekula, which means merchandise or traffic. You know what he's trafficking in? Souls. Usury. Banknotes. Gold. Silver. What the Bible say that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? Well, the righteous ain't got nothing, but all the wicked's got it. Did you know that 3% of the world's population own 97% of its wealth? You think that's fair? When you go bumping your tail, because that's what you've become, when you go bumping your tail over the dirt roads, the pothole roads, where they promise to fix your road, if you pay a usury tax or a gas tax, and they keep robbing you and building up the rich state, county, and government federal coffers to where the CFR reports is that they got billions of dollars drawing interest of your money here. They got two reports, one broke, one with plenty of money. You see the one that's broke, we're in bad shape, we need more money, need more taxes. They keep raising the taxes on the poor, the middle class, and those are the ones that pays 90% of the share of the taxes. The corporations pay only 10%. They should pay 90%, and the poor and the middle class should pay 10%. That ain't the way it is. That you know under the Bush administration that the rich corporation companies and the big money investors that make over $200,000 a year have lived quite sumptuously and have had less taxes to pay since Bush went in, and the average middle class worker in that on down has paid a 30% increase over what it was when Bush went in. Did you know that our national debt has went into the trillions of dollars where they borrowed against your children's future, and Bush says you're having good times? From $7 trillion, it's went down the drain since he became president. That means borrowed money, printed federal notes money that'll have to draw interest for generations to come. And guess who gets that? The rich, the powerful elite, the 3% of that own 97% of the wealth, and getting richer every day just because we fall for this garbage every day, of this political garbage where we go deeper in debt, where the burden of taxation and usury collection gets harder and harder and harder. And no wonder so many people are committing suicide. No wonder so many people are having nervous breakdown. No wonder that many people's hearts are failing them. And no wonder that we're in perilous times, because Israel become the tail and the serpent has become the head. Instead of bruising his head, we're petting the snake's fangs. I mean, we're up there playing with the temptation of evil, because Satan is painted his fangs green. And we love a filthy looker, and we run after the almighty dollar. We chase that to hell and back, looking for the rainbow, or looking to win the lottery. You got as much chance of getting struck a lightning than two times in the same place as you have of winning a lottery. And yet many people put their last dollar in a lottery trying to get rich. What would you do if you was rich?
Well, first thing I'd do is pay off all my debts.
Yeah, what was the next thing?
Well, I need a vacation, and I'd see the world travel and buy me a pretty house and a pretty car. And I'd probably change wives, because I've been wanting to get rid of that old battle axe and gun anyway. And, money will bring them sweet little chicks around. And I guess, praise God, I just have me a rip-roaring time.
Well, that's what money will do. It'll make a fool out of you quicker than you'd make a fool out of yourself if you're poor. But you can have 50 cents in your pocket and be stingy toward Yahweh and fail to support the gospel, and you would be just as rich as a man that had $10 million in his pocket and gave $1,000 of that to some kind of a ministry. You see what I mean? If you're faithful much, you'll be faithful in a little. If you're faithful in a little, you're going to be faithful in much. And so that's how it is. If you're faithful in a little, see your tribe of a little. If you wouldn't give 10% of that big cent you got in your pocket, you ain't gonna make Yahweh's a popularity list, no way. You ain't gonna get up there where charity, you know what the Bible said? Charity suffers long, kind, even if not puffed up, rejoices in the truth. You can give all your goods to feed the poor, which is what the world's teaching you charity is, and you can go straight to hell. So listen, let me tell you something. The only thing that charity classifies in the bottom line, truth. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. So you better get into truth. You better hold on to truth. You better buy the truth and sell it not. You better launch into it. You better support it, because you're only promised so many days here, and every day that you live, you've got one less day to fulfill your destiny. And the Bible said, awake, and sin not. The day is at hand, and today is the day. Everybody quits. I do more for him, Pastor Bunham. I'm just have a little bit more to do it with. Take a little you got and do something. And then Yahweh not give you a whole lot. If he can trust you with a little, he can trust you with a lot. See, the reason you ain't got a whole lot, he can't trust you. I mean, you're sitting there squeezing that 50 cents to death. In comparison to if you had 10 million, you sit on top of that. What's the difference? 10% of that 50 cents is a dime. Would you give a dime for that? Well, it'd be a nickel because you reduce that 50 cents, that's five, so you reduce that'd be one nickel. Could you give one nickel?
No, I couldn't get a Coke if I gave you a nickel. I just leave me 45 cents, takes a 50 cents to get a Coke, and I gotta have a Coke today.
I mean, that's the attitude of people. Sow in a little and you'll get much. Come on, launch out into the deep. Get with the program. Do something. You don't have to have money to do anything with him anyway. Take your rich faith. If you don't have any money, use your knowledge and win souls. He that wins souls is wise. It's better than silver and gold. If at the end, I was a baptizing man today from the country over all the way from California, 3,000 miles, a lot drove and lost him, 2,630 some miles. He put on his feet out of the gear. 2,600 some miles going back. Almost 6,000 miles round trip just to get baptized in the magnanimous name of Yod Vahim. Isn't that wonderful? And a man's homeless. Sleeps in the back of his truck. And yet his faith is so strong that when he heard the gospel, he heard it on the tapes that was sent to him by a friend of mine that lives in Oklahoma, just forwarded him some tapes, and he got to listening. And he sent him a baptismal tape, and he said, I have got to get to Tennessee to be baptized in the name of my Creator before I die. He's 77 years old. He drove himself. Got glasses on that's extra thick. Can't see. His vision is getting bad in his last days. His hearing is bad. And yet, he drove his little Toyota truck with his little mattress in the back, sleeps in it, don't have a home, sleeps on in the parks on the streets of California. But he drove all the way to Tennessee, East Tennessee, and today, on the 25th day of the 10th month of the 04, 2004, he was baptized in the name of Yahweh. Praise the magnanimous, magnificent, majestic, all-powerful name of Yod-Heh-Vahe. What a wonderful name. Sing its praises. Let everything that has breath praise that magnanimous, magnificent, majestic, powerful name. Put your money to the money changers. Gas is $2 and something a gallon. He said in California it's over $2 a gallon. He filled up his tank and he headed out. He filled it up and 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 filled it up. 6,000 miles a man's got 6,000. He gets 30 miles a gallon. 3.6 is 18. You see how many miles he's put on his truck and you see how much he's going to have to pay. 180 gallon and over $2 a gallon. And he's going to spend some money just in gasoline to get out here. But by getting out here, He has blessed himself in the magnanimous name, and the name of Yahweh has been written in his forehead. And he'll take that into the kingdom where he'll hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You chose the foolish things to make yourself wise when the wise wouldn't even bother to do what you've done. You have kept the faith and you haven't denied my name. Enter into the joy. Because I've searched, now you're on the Lamb's book with a check mark that you obey that form of doctrine that's delivered unto you. And you repented of your sins and you're back to, baptized in the magnificent name of Yah. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is always scooted out here and coming gone. Let me give you my address tonight. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. My telephone number tonight, if you'd like so much just to call me. I'm free line 21. I'm alive tonight on the 25th day of the 10th of 2004. And my telephone number is area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. My email number is buddy1@centurytale.net. I got to scoot on out of here. Yahweh bless you. And I'll see you on down the lane tomorrow night. with part 7 of The Demons from the Deep.
I'm